every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath that we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath that we could ever breathe. We live for you. Every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath that we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show in you alone, and I will not.
Joy.
shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Of a storm, you are there, Lord. In the midst of our trials and tribulation, you are there, Lord. When it seems there's no way out, you make a way out because you are there, Lord. And I am determined to hold out to the end because, Lord, you are there. You are there. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever should buffet, though trials should come. Let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. Sing, oh, the bliss of this. Shall be sigh, the cloud.
struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, bread and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
As we dig into your word now, would you speak to us? God, would you reignite a flame, a passion, a desire in our hearts? Lord, for far too long, the church has been dormant, dare I say. Lord, we need to be re-engaged. We need to be reignited and rebuilt and rejuvenated. Lord, however you want to say that, would you just empower us today? God, make us new. Give us a passion for you once again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the incredible importance of evangelism. We explored some misconceptions surrounding that very important part of our Christian walk. In fact, we talked about how our view of evangelism has even been skewed over the years, and we've developed this someone else's calling attitude. In a way, we've justified it for ourselves. Well, I don't have to do that. That's not my calling. We talked about how incorrect that is last week. And we talked about how that attitude and our removal, if you will, of evangelism from our own lives has negatively impacted the world around us. It's negatively impacted the generations that follow us. Through our discussion, we talked about the need for every single one of us to be actively involved in spreading the hope that is well laid out in the gospel message that we read continuously. Amen. How we need to put into action what we have read, what we have learned, what we have studied over the years, and what is detailed for us in Scripture to do. Understanding that idea of sharing the good news, understanding that idea of spreading hope is one of the most important jobs that we have as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. It's our job, can I say it that way? It's our task to show others what it means to be born again. What it means to live a life for Jesus. One of the most powerful tools we have in that is our relationship with other people. We talked about that a little bit last week. We're going to talk about it some more here in a minute. Many of us might recognize this gentleman. He's an individual by the name of Lee Strobel. If you're not familiar with him, let me just tell you a little bit about who Lee is. Lee was an atheist. He didn't believe in any kind of God or deity or higher power or anything else. He just, you know, thought we existed. He was an atheist, truly was. In his secular world, he was an investigative journalist. He held a degree from Yale Law School. He worked at, I believe it was the Tribune in Chicago, here locally. Many years ago, as I understand it, his wife came into a saving relationship with Christ. And because of that, Lee decided he was going to set out and investigate all the biblical claims of Jesus Christ. And guess what happened to Lee? Through his investigative work, through his intelligent reasoning and deduction, he himself became a believer and a born-again Christian in Jesus. Lee has gone on to publish quite a few books. I don't know, I can't even count or know how many anymore that he has published. One of them is a very popular book called The Case for Christ, where he takes a lot of his findings as this investigative journalist and presents them in a way that clarifies who Christ is and points people to Christ. In fact, that book in and of itself has had incredible impact on a countless number of people. Lee is also a co-author of many books. And one of those books that he has co-authored, he has done so with a gentleman by the name of Mark Middleberg. Mark himself is a speaker and teacher and travels internationally to talk about Christ and Christianity. Mark's primary focus is evangelism. He talks about spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel message with those that he comes in contact with. Well, together, Mark and Lee have presented a series called Contagious Christianity. And I love that name. You know, we think of that word contagious and immediately everything is negative. Whoa, it's contagious. Especially today, dealing with COVID and Delta and all that. I don't want anything that's contagious. But here it takes that word and it puts it into a very positive frame for us. Because Christianity is supposed to be contagious. It's our job to spread it. Contagious Christianity, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's all about evangelism and spreading hope and sharing the gospel message with others. In the course of their presentation, they share several different key elements in effectively sharing the gospel and spreading that truth that we have received. And today we're going to talk about some of those key elements that they refer to and how they affect our ability to talk to others so that we, as a church, as individuals, so that we can get back on track with our responsibility of making disciples. Because that's one thing we are clearly called to do. So here we go. One of the first components they talk about, incredibly important from the very get-go, is our love of others. Something we have talked a lot about over the last several weeks. Now, if I can be very honest and upfront with you this morning, loving others is a lot more difficult than it sounds. We like to breeze past this. Oh, yeah, we need to love others. And while it should be about that simple, it is not. Loving others is a very difficult thing to do sometimes. We are unquestionably called to love others through Scripture, through the gospel message. It's very clear to us. But it is not as simple as it sounds sometimes. And I'm going to give you a couple ideas as to why. Why is it so difficult? One of the biggest problems today is because we put ourselves in front of others. We put ourselves first when really we should be putting others first. That's one of our big problems. The other part of it is we have a hard time separating people and their actions from the spirit that is behind them. See, we can be offended, we can be hurt, we can be caught off guard by people. And we tend to focus in on the person and blame them. When in reality, many a times, it's the enemy, the devil, the demonic forces behind whatever is going on that is really after us, not that individual person. We have a hard time separating that. I know I do. People say something or do something and, ooh, that just irks me. And I have to remember and realize that they are not the ones doing it. The enemy is attacking me through them. For us to love others the way we're supposed to love others, we have to take a back seat in our own lives. Let me give you an example of this. There's a great biblical example. How many of us remember James and John? They were brothers. They were disciples of Christ, but they were brothers. James and John had a desire. They wanted to sit on the right and left of Christ when he came in his kingdom. Now, initially, maybe that's not a bad thought. Hey, I want to sit next to the big guy too. I want that seat. I want to be on his right or on his left, right? They even got their mom involved. And mom went to Jesus and said, would you do this for my kids? Would you put them at your right and your left? When the other disciples heard about that, they weren't very happy. They were like, wait a minute here. Hold on. They were unhappy about it, and they expressed that unhappiness. But Jesus said something to all of them. Mark chapter 10. 43 and 44. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Now that rubs us in the face, doesn't it? That's contrary to anything we would possibly think about. But what it tells us is that our concern has to be for others and not for ourselves. When we make decisions, when we do things, when we go out to be a part of something, our mindset ought to be, how does it benefit others? Not how does it benefit us? Not what mark can I check off or what box do I get to complete in my daily agenda, but how have I helped or blessed or ministered in some way to others? When we learn to put ourselves in the back seat, loving others becomes a much easier process. Scripture also clearly tells us to do everything in love. Now, that doing everything also includes our conversations, how we speak to people, how we talk to people. Now, let's be honest again this morning, folks. Let's take a real, true heart inventory here. Some of us really like to argue. Right or wrong, we really like to argue. We like to be right. We don't want someone else to prove us wrong. We want to know that we get the last words and we want to make the last point of whatever that argument is. That's how some of us are built. That's how some of us just kind of naturally react, if you'll allow me to say it that way. But when we are reaching out to people, when we are sharing the gospel message with people, when we are spreading the hope that we have, doing it with a my way or the highway attitude does not help. It is of no benefit whatsoever. That attitude is going to be a problem more than it's going to be a solution. My way or the highway simply does not work. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 gives us a little bit of meat to chew on as mature believers. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So it's telling us to be ready, and that's where we always stop. But look at the next line. "But do this with gentleness and respect." Gentleness and respect. Yes, we need to be prepared to share our faith, to tell others what it is that's different about us, why we love the Lord, why we're excited about the life that we have. But we must do it with gentleness. That makes a huge difference. I can't stress that word enough. It makes a huge difference. Our attitude, our response to people conveys that love that we've been talking about. When we treat others with gentleness and kindness as the Word tells us to, the impact is massive. If you don't believe me, let's bring it home again. How do you respond when arrogant, hard-headed people confront you and talk to you and try to beat you down? And how do you respond when someone with a gentle, loving, kind heart and attitude talks to you? I mean, when that first person comes at us, we instantly put up the wall, close the doors, lock the shades. We build a barrier instantly. But when gentleness and humility and kindness come at us, we're open and we listen and we allow. When we go outside of those bounds of gentleness and kindness with people, whatever we are saying to them is falling on deaf ears. They're not listening. They've already tuned us out because of our attitude. Loving people can be difficult, but loving people has to be the fuel that fires our desire to spread God's word, to spread His hope. Remove the fuel, the fire goes out. And unfortunately, for a long time, for the church as a whole, that fire has been dwindling and dwindling and dwindling. The passion, the desire is not where it once was. And we need that fuel. We need that love to reignite our passion to tell others about Christ, that they might not be separated from Him for all eternity. Do we realize that's the consequence? If they don't have a relationship with the Lord, there is no salvation for them. They are lost for all eternity. Are we okay with that? Or does that bother us? I hope it bothers us. Now, here's the thing about this love that we're talking about. It has to be authentic, folks. It has to be authentic. People can spot a fake a mile away. We are not as good at hiding our real selves as we think we are. People can see a fake. We paste on a smile, we change the tone of our voice, but trust me, our true characteristics still make their way to the surface. And people still see us for who we are. Those true characteristics are still exposed. Excuse me. I hate it when I choke on myself. If we attempt to fake our care for people, they're going to know it. They're going to see it. It will be evident that we are putting on airs and pretending. We're not hiding it the way we think we are. There is a hunger among people today to see, to know, to meet, to spend time with people that are real, that are authentic, that are genuine. People that not only mentally believe in their faith, but they put their faith into action. People that have confidence, not in themselves, but in their God, the holy, true God that we serve. People want to see that in our lives. Understand, please, people are not after perfection. That's not what we're talking about here. They're not looking to see that you're a perfect person. What they want to see is authentic people. People that are not afraid to say, I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. People that are not afraid to be real about who they are. When it comes to our spiritual life, our spiritual walk, people want to see that we are who we claim to be. And in today's society, that's more important probably than it's ever been. Because hundreds and thousands of people are out there who are willing just to compromise Scripture to no end just to appease others. And people aren't looking to be appeased. They're looking for that real, true authenticity. That's what they want. Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The only way we can be the genuine believers that this world longs to see and to know is to put on Christ and to continue maturing in our walk with Him. We'll find that as we love others, as we genuinely, authentically love others, and that becomes visible to people, we will find that more and more people will be drawn to us. See, we don't have to come up with or create some kind of a campaign to attract people. They will be drawn to us, whether it's personally or as a whole. They will be drawn when we authentically love people. And as people are drawn to us, we'll be able to build new, meaningful, important relationships, which will give us the platform to spread that hope, to share the love, and to teach the gospel of Christ. Do we see how all of these components work together and mesh together in all of this? If we want to help others in their spiritual journey, we need to develop real, authentic relationships. Which means we need to invest in other people. putting ourselves aside and taking interest in them. What is it that they like? What is it that excites them? What is it that hurts them? What are their passions? How can we get involved in their lives? And we need to pray, Lord, work through me. Work through my life, my relationship with you, my walk, that I might be able to speak to them, that I might be able to share with them, that I might be able to communicate with them. A few years back, I'm going to share a little example with you this morning. A few years back, I led the youth ministry, youth leadership here, and at the same time, I worked another job outside of the church. When I was doing that, and it was time to make that change, I was leaving that job. I was going to be here all day, all the time. When I was going through my exit from the other company, if you will, something came to light that I had never realized, never heard, didn't know about until that took place. One of the fellow employees at that time made a comment to me. Verbally, they said to me something that has stuck with me for years and opened my mind to something. We were saying our goodbyes, and this person made the comment that the atmosphere in the office was better because I was there. That the language and the conversations were less coarse or crass simply because I was there. And they were genuinely concerned about how that was going to change once I left. Now, I don't say that this morning to pat myself on the back or say that I did something great or spectacular, because that's not what happened here. I was being me. I was being the believer, the born again, saved individual that Christ had called me to be. But it affected the people that were around me in a way deeper than I even knew or understood. I had built a relationship with them. They knew who I was. They respected that. And because of that, they changed to some degree. I was able to share with them both in word, because I spoke to them about my relationship and my beliefs, but also in my actions. They saw who I was, and it made a difference, a bigger difference than I realized, maybe. It made a difference for them. Now, I just said word and action made a difference in their lives, and I've been saying that now for several weeks. Again, it's another one of those pieces that we keep talking about. Because they have got to line up, folks. They have got to be the same. We cannot say one thing with our mouth and do something else with our lives. Just cannot be that way. The words of St. Francis Assisi, at least he has been quoted as saying this, "Preach the gospel all the time, and when necessary, use words." In other words, our actions should be preaching the gospel 24 hours a day. And if we actually need to say something to somebody, then talk. But preach the gospel at all times. Now, St. Francis was quoted as saying that. Let me give you a scripture and what scripture says. 1 John 3:18. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Scripture actually tells us to shut up. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. It makes a huge difference. Couple more things this morning for us to understand about. Let me go through these quickly this morning. More often than not, the road to salvation is a process. Now, obviously, God can and does miraculously change people's hearts and lives instantaneously. Saul is a great example to that for us in Scripture. On his way to Damascus, God met him. Saul's life was changed from that moment on. But many times that's not the case. Many times it's a process that we see in people's lives changing over the course of time. It can take multiple encounters before people are ready to confess and lay their lives down. Again, God can do the miraculous. God can change people immediately. But many times people aren't willing to be changed immediately. It takes them time. And because of that, we cannot be discouraged when in a day or a week or a decade, we're still ministering to the same people. We have to be patient and let God do what only God can do. Because our job is to be the salt and the light, not the time manager and the scorekeeper. We are to be the salt and the light. We need to be obedient to the word and let God do the rest. Which brings me to the last little point that I want to make this morning. This whole process of ministering to people, this whole idea of reaching out and talking and sharing with people is a partnership. At its very simplest form, it's a partnership between us and God, because you and I can't save a soul. Only God can save people's lives. We are vessels, we are tools, we are instruments that He chooses to work through. But He does the saving. But it's bigger than that. It's also a partnership between fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul gives us an incredible example of this. Let me read it this morning. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. The Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We each have a part to play. We each are responsible for a piece of something. Sometimes we get to plant. Sometimes we get to water. Sometimes our job is to fertilize. And every now and again, we get to actually take part in the harvest. But we are all partners in this, working together. And if we fall short on our own personal responsibility, what kind of problem does that cause in the whole process? Now, our God is a big God. He can substitute anybody at any time. But do you want to be substituted because you didn't do your job? You want God to look out and say, well, they didn't do what I asked them to do, so move them over. I got somebody else who'll take care of it. I mean, really, that's what we're saying when we choose not to do what God has asked us to do. Hopefully by now everything is abundantly clear to us that all of these elements, all of these issues tie together. They work like cogs in a wheel. One turns the next. One helps the next. No component by itself is the right answer. But everything working together allows us to make the disciples that we have been told to make. Our maturity increases our love. God's love in us alive in us brings out that genuine love for others. That authentic, real love becomes a magnet that other people are drawn to, attracting people to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is alive and working within us. And as we mature and aim to obey Christ and follow that Spirit, our words and our actions mesh together and work as one, communicating a unified truth to those around us. And in the process, we develop a deeper desire to communicate Christ with more and more and more people. To do our part, planting, watering, fertilizing, whatever it is, spreading the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christianity is meant to be contagious. Go out and affect some people. Spread the gospel. Spread the hope, the message that we have to share. Do your part. Do my part in being the contagious Christians we are meant to be. Lord, thank you for giving us your direction and your wisdom. Lord, I do pray that you would help every one of us to take on the job that you have given us to do in spreading your truth, in ministering to others, in sharing the gospel message. Lord, we've sat by too long, assuming, hoping that somehow people will just show up at church someday and they'll hear the message. God, help us to truly be the church we are supposed to be, and to go from this place into the world carrying the backpack of your truth, your gospel message to the world. Unzipping that backpack and pouring out those truths, those relationships, those authentic, genuine, real aspects of our lives that others would see you. God, you've called us to be partners with yourself and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Give us wisdom and help us to do the part that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you, Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. there is none beside you. Opened up my eyes in wonder, show who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lord, do that. Would you use us as we love each other in your name? As we reach out with your hands and as we walk in your feet, in your precious name.